help me out. And they said you shouldn't put teenagers in the worship team. What are kids doing on the stage? And poor Emma couldn't keep her hands on the pianos because she had to praise God with one and play. I thought she was playing with no hands there for a minute. That's what God does when you enter into worship. That's what God does in your life when you realize something bigger is happening than a thing called church. That's what's happening today. Something bigger is going on in our community. Something bigger is going on in your home. And God's inviting you. Here it is. God's inviting you to rise up and get in it. You see, I would do like Paul wrote in this book. Paul said, this doesn't make any sense. Paul said, I will become anything, anytime, to anyone so that you can get saved. Isn't that amazing? He said, I would do anything to get you saved. I would do anything right now just so you could be closer to God. That's what he says in that. And so as God is saying that, he's saying, what are you willing to do to see people saved? You know what doesn't make sense? Paul hated Jesus. Think about that. I mean, he hated him. What causes a guy to hate Jesus? You talk about Jesus, I'll kill you. I'll punch you in the nose, you Christians. Paul hated Jesus. So my question is this. What changed from him going to, I hate Jesus, to, I would do anything, anytime, for anyone to save somebody? Here's what happened. He saw him. Jesus. Paul saw Jesus. If you came up to, I had a conversation the other day with a guy, and he said, your Christianity, there's just not enough there for me. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know what? There's no doubt Jesus lived and died. I mean, nobody questions that. I mean, that's just historical. That they ripped, I mean, everybody wrote about him during the day. I mean, whether you were Jewish or Gentile, Roman, I mean, it didn't matter. Everybody was writing about Jesus, Josephus and all these other guys. I mean, they wrote all about him, that a guy got ripped apart like no man has ever been ripped apart. I mean, they filleted his back so bad when they beat him and whipped him and scourged him that every vital organ in his body probably could be seen from the backside because they had filleted his flesh off of his bones. And then they took, and that wasn't enough, they ripped his facial hair out. He didn't even look like a human, they said. It had pulled on his face and the crowns. He was so bloodied and so ripped apart, they said you couldn't recognize him as a human being. There's no doubt that happened, this guy said. I don't doubt that. He said, but your faith, there's just nothing there. And I said, are you trying to convince me to not be a Christian? He said, are you trying to convince me to be a Christian? I said, yeah. We were at an impasse. And I said, you're not going to talk me out of this. Why? I said, because what causes a man who was there killing Christians, hating Christians, to turn around and say, I would do anything, anytime, for anyone. I'll become weak to become weak. I'll become a Jew to win a Jew. I'll become a sinner to win sinners. What causes a man like that? Well, then there were 11 other men, right? There were 11 other men. Peter and John and Thomas and these guys, right? And these guys saw him die. They saw him on the cross. They saw a spear go through his side. They watch in the hypovolemic shock, which a doctor today will tell you, when you are out of blood in your body, you go into hypovolemic shock. They will tell you that what happens is the last remaining fluids in your body, water will surround your heart, your last vestige, holding the last part of blood. And it will surround that. It will protect that. And so when that soldier stabbed him in his side and he pulled out that 4 or 5 inches of that blade out of the flesh of a human being, it says water, and then blood flowed. What he had left was now spent. There was no blood left in that human's body. His limp body was taken off a cross. They set him into a tomb. They rolled a rock large enough that nobody, I mean, no single or two or three men could move it. And then they sealed it with the king's ring and said, nobody touch it, and place soldier guards, centurions in front of it. Thomas knew Jesus was dead. what causes a man by the name of Thomas to go, he's dead? Someone comes and says, he's dead, quit following him. You got it. I'm done. I'm going to take my seat among the other liars. That guy died. I saw him die. No, that's not what happened to Thomas. Thomas didn't take his seat. Thomas had his skin. They came and said, deny Jesus. He said, I can't. They took his skin and they peeled his skin. They literally took his outer wrapping, his derma, off of his body, and then they boiled him in hot, scalding water so he would deny Jesus. I'm telling you, my Jesus has substance, because a man has to know something to die like that. And he saw Jesus alive. I want you to know, I have a whole lot more than just history on my side. I have people who saw Jesus resurrected and alive. That's what my faith is. My faith isn't another story or church service. And so Paul says, I would do anything. My hands hurt because I've gotten more splinters from grabbing a piece of wood and grabbing it and going to lift it up and realizing you should have probably wore gloves because splinters keep going into my hands. As I spent the last 16 hours every day here from 8 to midnight with 23 incredible volunteers, to build the stage, to do this, to change the foyer, to paint some things, to do some stuff. Why? Because I would do anything. I would do anything if I could get you to come to Christ and to walk closer to Him. You say, what does a stage have to do with that? I don't know. If it would get you to come to Christ so that you could worship better, so you won't be distracted. If you could walk into a foyer and not look at ugly, stained pink carpet for 6 years. So we tore it up and we laid down some flooring. Why? So that somebody would walk in and go, you know, maybe they do care to do whatever it takes. Why do we have 13 homes that are opening up next Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, Saturday night? So that you can come closer to Christ, so that you can grow. See, I know something about this guy named Paul who hated Jesus. He saw him. And when you see Jesus, you will never be the same. You see, it's not a matter of did Jesus live and die and raise from the dead. That's true. That's not the issue that you're struggling with in your faith today. If you're struggling in your walk today, it's not whether He is the great I am and He's everything you've ever needed. It's a matter of, do you know Him enough to put your faith and trust in Him? Listen, I went to a septic field to shoot these videos. 10 weeks of shooting, or 10 weeks of videos that we shot. Got in my car for 3 days, left my family, went to New York, went to D.C., to Philly, to all these places. Why? Why did I lose that time? And then came back, we went to a septic field. I'm standing at a septic field, and there's a barbed wire fence where all the poop is in there, and I'm standing there, and there's a sign that says, keep out. Do we really have to tell people to keep out of the poop? Is there really an issue that we got to put barbed wire and signs? Is there a rush on diving in? Come see the video in a couple weeks. Be a part of these life groups. It'll happen on Sunday, then go to a home group, life group, and get the rest of the story. I'm standing there going, really, God? And God says, the only person you have to worry about getting into that septic is me. Because that's our sin. And we have a problem keeping people out of jumping into the poop. It's true. We keep jumping into the crap. And we all know we don't want the crap, but we keep diving in. And Jesus comes in and says, tell you what, I'll dive into your crap. And I'll open up my mouth. And I'll take it all in for you. You know why He jumps into the crap for us? So that we can jump into the blood for Him. You see, He'll clean it up, and He's already done it, but you got to get into Him. He dove into us and our life, our nasty life, and He's asking us to dive into His wonderful life. And I thought to myself when I was having this argument this week with a young man who didn't want to come to Jesus, what would it cost you to even try it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't give you a better deal than that today. God loves you. Saturday or Friday, I got a phone call. We've been trying for 3 weeks to get into the Smiths Creek landfill to shoot a video for this week's kickoff. I won't give you the whole thing. You need to come back next week and see it. You need to get into a life group next week to see the rest of the story. You'll see parts of the story. We'll do a 2 to 3 minute clip that'll go with the message. But the 5 to 7 minutes of teaching and the 30 minutes of having snacks and dessert with other people, the 30 minutes of the Bible study, and maybe 20 or 30 minutes of sitting around visiting, getting to know human beings, doing life together. So we finally got permission. We've been trying to get permission. The phone call went something like this. I called a buddy who was driving and bringing all those trucks from, you know, Canada, and I like the fact that we get to buy other people's garbage. And, hey, it works for us, for our economy. It's got to go somewhere. And so I'm out at this landfill finally. And the guy, it's kind of like this. He's like, what do you want to do? You want to film our garbage for what? For our church. No, listen, you come meet with me. I better be there to meet you first. Why does anybody want to come into our landfill and stand in our garbage? What? So finally, after 3 weeks, it worked out. And I won't give you the gist of it. That's next week. But I got there, and I'm sitting across from this gentleman. What a nice guy. Super nice guy. His name's Matt. I don't know if he's here today. Matt, are you here? Okay, he wasn't in first service either, because I handed him my card and said, here. He said, we just moved from Romeo. I run the landfill here. He says, my wife and I just moved here. Now, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go stand in the middle of the garbage dump. I want to back up a truck like I'm unloading. I want to get in the middle of it. I want to put a typewriter in the middle of it with an 1890s typewriter, with a little thing that says, what's your life sentence? I said, I'm doing this thing about learning how to do life and what's our purpose. And I want to stand in the middle of garbage. This is someone's treasure once. Now it's trash. It's the end of all that we have to have. He goes, you want to do what? I said, I want to do this for our church. And he's looking at me. I said, I'll do anything, anytime, for anyone. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23. So by doing so, I might save you. Why not? Or you. And he looks at me, and here's what he says. He goes, well, it's very nice to meet you, Pastor. I want you to know that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I love the Lord with all my heart. My wife and I were attending a really very nice church in Detroit. We've just recently moved. Our daughter's getting married next week, and we began sharing stories of life together. And he said, you know what's amazing? He said my daughter met this wonderful young man who God just touched his life. They're getting married next weekend. Just to see that in the church, my wife and I know one thing. We're looking for a church. And we know the most important thing is being able to go to a place to learn how to worship. What happens inside the walls is the holy huddle. But what happens outside the walls is what's called Christianity. I'm sitting there going, thank you, God, another Jesus moment. We got to talking. He says, I'm going to go up there with you. They just unloaded some asbestos stuff. So by law, we wait till that's all cleared and buried and done and stuff. He says, now I got all these trucks backed up. I'll put you in a place where the heaps will be coming over the mountain and you can stand wherever you want in that. I'm going to give you a hard hat and a jacket or a vest. And that's all I'm going to say. We have some of the most awesome video of some of the greatest teaching on what's your life sentence. And it's all going to, we have curriculum for you. So you can have a devotional guide you can have during the daytime. You can go to your life groups and have the lesson, and you can take notes and learn how to do this. You'll have Sunday morning messages in there. You'll have the video. And this guy looked at me and goes, wow, that sounds kind of extensive. I said, that's been my whole summer. He said, why are you doing this, was his question. I said, because of this. If we can get people walking with Christ, so much closer. See, it's not whether Jesus is the great I am. It's not whether God is worthy and wants to heal us and give us peace. It's not whether or not God is enough. It's whether I know enough about him to jump in to give him that permission in my life. See, Christians, it's not whether God is doing his part. It's whether we know what he is. And we are filled with people in churches who don't know the great I am in his fullness. I'm not saying you don't know him, and right now you might be thinking you're awful judgmental. I apologize if I'm coming across that way. I think the church is greater. I think God is bigger. And I think His depth of His love is so far beyond the defeat I feel on days when my bones are crushed. And I think, God, I went right back into the poop again. And by the way, that is a Greek word that's in week 6. And you'll love that. I got to be careful preaching that because Paul uses it. It's the only place you'll find it in Scripture. And folks, it's a lot more graphic in the Greek than it is in the English. And I will behave myself. But we keep going and diving right back in. And I think, God, my bones are crushed again because the sins find me out. And they hurt me. And the devil comes in. And God says, maybe you forgot. I didn't just die for your past. I died for your future. And if you can wrap your mind around the freedom that comes in the grace that is deeper than any ocean you can drown in, maybe you'll understand that you have victory that is greater than your sin and stop living in defeat now that you're walking with the grace. And I'm learning this in my life, and I say, if I can get a whole congregation and we can get a whole city and we can get a whole country doing this, we're going to do a lot better. And maybe, and just maybe, our children will have that hope that there's a better day coming. We can offer them more than war. We can offer them more than the stock market. We can offer them more than the complaints at the gas pump. Maybe we can tell them life is bigger than the price of gas. Life is bigger than me and my wife arguing over who left the toothpaste cap off. Life is bigger. And guess what? No matter what happens in this world, God is greater. When we learn that, what's your life sentence? Then Jesse and Danielle will say, we didn't go to Honduras. It happened right here in Port Huron. Okay? So here's my benediction. I'm going to introduce to you our life leaders, people who have said, Pastor, this is not the easiest thing to do. I'm going to open up my house. Who's coming? I don't know. What if nobody comes? Okay? Then maybe people didn't get it. Maybe I didn't do my job. But folks, I'm going to ask you to do something that's probably halfway scary, but it's really cool. Because we're going to, and maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you can only go once. Maybe you can go 5 times. Maybe you can go all 10 times starting next week. And you say, oh, there's a Monday night. I can do that. Or here's one in Smith's Creek. I can do that. Find a place. They're going to be out in the foyer here in just a second. I'm going to introduce to you people who believe in you and are willing to do whatever it takes. They're opening up their house. We've met for the last few weeks, and they're getting ready to just do life with you. And they're probably just as nervous as you are, but they're opening up their house to say, come on over. Take a chance. If you're a life leader, would you stand up? I'm going to introduce you right now.